Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. Today we continue our journey through Sefer Tehillim with Perek Kuf Mem Beit, that's chapter 142. This is a chapter composed by David at a very critical time in his life. Before he was King David, he was just David on the run, pursued by his own father-in-law, Shaul HaMelech, who wanted to see him dead. At one point as a fugitive, David, with his loyal band of followers, hid inside a cave and then found that Shaul himself had entered this cave. The danger was great. Where Shaul was close enough for David to touch and also close enough for David to be found and killed. And in this place of tremendous danger, David composed Kuf Mem Bet, which begins with Pasuk Aleph. Maskel le David, biyosov ha-me'ara sfila. As we've discussed before, the word maskil will always indicate a very important lesson that David learned himself that he wishes to pass on to Klal Yisrael. And the lesson learned by David in this cave is not necessarily a great chidush. To women like ourselves, where we're always trying to become a little stronger, a little closer, a little bigger, a little better, this is knowledge we have or that we're working on. But the circumstances in which this lesson became clear to David makes it one that is deeply profound and sharply focused. And let's begin to understand. Maskele David Yosef HaMe'ara, the lesson David learned and wants to share with us from deep inside that cave, is the lesson of tefillah, is the lesson of prayer. As the Midrash Shochar Tov points out, in that cave, it became painfully clear to David that there was nothing he had, not power, not talent, not brains, not protectiot, he's the son-in-law of the king. None of this could help him when he was alone, vulnerable, and Shaul was so close to him in that very cave. There was nothing David had that he could rely on to save him. He was completely alone. There was no one else there. Except, of course, for the one thing he truly had, which was tefillah, where the message of in od milvado, there was nothing else, nobody else, no force, no power, no strength that David could rely on. There was only in this cave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And David leaned in. And David expresses this as the Malbim says, it becomes so clear in the following psukim. Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Koli el Hashem ezak. Were David to raise his voice and scream in that cave, it wouldn't help him. It would just, of course, reveal his whereabouts to Shaul when he had to hide. So there was no one he could scream to. Koli el Hashem eschanan. He couldn't plead in a softer voice with anybody. He couldn't scream, he couldn't plead. He couldn't pantomime. However, inside of himself, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could scream. And to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could plead. Koli el Hashem ezak. There was no person he could scream to, but he could scream to Hashem. Koli el Hashem eschanan. He could not plead with any person, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu he could. Eshpoch lefanav sichi, tzarasi lefanav agid. There was no person at this point David could turn to. But in the absence of any human power that could help him, David says, I poured out my pain before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I told him of my distress. And again, in physical terms, David alone in this cave with Shaul right there, it was so clear to him that there is nobody in the world who could help him except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the maskil. This is the gift from the cave that David shares with every single one of us. That at every point in life, for each of us, though we may not physically be in that cave, the truth of Ein Od Milvado, the truth of there's nobody we can turn to except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a truth that David hands down throughout the generations. As he continues in Pasuk Daled, verse 4, B'his atef alai ruchi, when my spirit faints, becomes weak within me, Ve'ata yadata nesivasi. According to Rashi, says David, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu know the obstacles, you know the pitfalls, you know everything I've tripped over in my path. On the other hand, as the Radak points out, at the same time, Vatayadata nisivasi. You also know that the path I've chosen is completely different from the path that the wicked ones have chosen for themselves. I'm walking on the path towards greatness. I'm walking on the path towards closeness to you. Be'orach zu ahalech, but on this path that I've chosen to tread, tamnu fachli, they've laid out a trap for me. And again, he describes his feeling of helplessness, his feeling of there being nobody else there for him. He's completely alone. Habet yaminu ra'eh ve'ein li makir. Look to the right and see, there is nobody who knows me. Avad manos mimeni. Every escape is lost to me. Ein doresh lenafshi. There is nobody who seeks to save my life. But when there is nobody, says David, Pasuk Vav, Za'akti elecha Hashem. When there is nobody else there, says David, I screamed to you, Hashem. And I said, Amalti, Ata machsi, you are my refuge. Chelki be'eretz hachayim. You are my portion. Be'eretz hachayim. What is this land of the living? According to the Radak, the land of the living is Eretz Hachayim, is Eretz Yisrael. According to the Sforno, the land of the living is in the Beit Midrash or the Beit Knesset, the place of study where I find true life, stripped of all the superficial trappings of what people think life really is. Again, the expression of David, I'm not looking for the tips and the tricks and the artificial hacks that people call life. But when there's nobody else there and I'm looking for what's actually true, I'm looking for Eretz Yisrael, the place that's focused on spirit, the place that's focused on truth. I'm looking for the Beit Midrash and the Beit Knesset, the place where the fakeness of the outside world stops at the door. And this is the place where, again, I'm alone with my relationship and my reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Continues David, verse 7, Pasuk Zayin. Hakshiva el rinasi, kidalosi me'od. Listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to my cry, because I have been brought very low. The terminology here is unusual. Most of the Mefarshim will translate rinasi, the rina, as a cry. But we know that rina is usually a term of joyous song. So what is going on over here? The Dubna Magid explains this with a very fitting analogy. He speaks of a wealthy individual who was laid low, who became impoverished and had nothing. And this once rich individual, this once rich fellow now was begging on the street looking for a handout. And it happened one day that somebody came and gave him a hot lunch and a few coins. Overjoyed that he had a sandwich, that he had something to eat, this former tycoon went dancing through the streets, singing a song of joy because he had lunch. People who saw this understood his joy showed how pathetic he was. We had formerly been on top of the world, now was singing that he had a hot lunch. That itself was the tragedy, says the Dubna Magid. When you see that which is my rina, when you see, says David, what gives me joy now, it's pitiful. And the fact that this pittance causes me joy, that itself shows you, kidalosi ma'od. I've been laid very, very low. Hatzileni merodfai, save me from those who pursue me. Ki amtsu mimeni, because they are stronger than me. Pasuk Chet, verse 8. Hotzi'a mimasgir nafshi. Release my soul from confinement. As explained again by the Mefarshim, it's not only physically that David is confined, stuck in a cave, his movement hampered. He can't go anywhere. He's confined. But that's not the only problem, because there can also be in life a spiritual confinement where nafshi, my soul, feels locked up. There are times in our lives where, because of our circumstances, we feel that our very life force is chained, and I can't fulfill my potential, and I can't be my best self, and I can't climb out of this doom or gloom that holds me in its grasp. But continues David, and this is where this mizmor, this maskil, which is a difficult one, begins to sing. And we rise up above this cave that's holding me captive. Because, says David, release me from my cave, from my shackles. For what reason? Lehodos es shemecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not trying to get out of here because there are games I want to play, because there's money I want to make, because I want to be a free man. I would like to escape from this cave that I'm currently in. Lehodos es shemecha. I want to serve you. I want to thank you. I want to sing your song, and I can do that when I'm freed from whatever is locking me up now. Biyachtiru tzadikim. I would like to be that person. Through me, the righteous will crown themselves. When tzadikim will see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu in which you lift me up, kisigmol alai, they will see the way in which you reward me for the time when I served you with integrity. And through that, tzadikim will give you a crown, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, crown themselves and crown you when they see how I've been lifted up. This is why I want to go free. Because to a Jew, any time we're locked up, when we feel ourselves frustrated and can't be our best selves, we hope to escape, we hope to go free, to be a better Eved Hashem. So that I can be a Jew, when I get out of this, who can be one more gem in the royal crown. And I would like HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehodos es shemecha, for the story of my life to be one that gives thanks to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the kindness that you've shown me. Thank you for studying Le'ilui Nishmot Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirat HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.